Welcome to Envision This, connecting you to visionaries of a better future, something that's more resilient and equitable and earth-friendly and healthy. Our guest tonight is Jessie Ann Nichols George. She's the author of four books, and her books are founded on the principles of compassion. She writes about how to use compassion to bring joy to all areas of life, as well as to open you up to living your passion and manifesting your own joy and fulfillment. She's co-author of Embraced by the Divine, the Emerging Woman's Gateway to Power, Passion, and Purpose. And she created the Genesis Clearing Statement and the Compassion Tour. So we're going to have a lot to talk about. Jessie's an integrated development specialist with over 33 years of experience working with clients and assisting others to create their own personal better future. So let's welcome Jessie Ann Nichols.
Well, thank you so much. It's absolutely wonderful to be with you today.
Yes, and it will be wonderful if the listeners choose to call in. They can call in while we're talking at any time, and I'll activate their mic at a convenient point. The call-in number is 646-652-2235. And again, that number is 646-652-2235. So let's move on to Jessie. It's intriguing, Jessie, that you introduce yourself as a 13th generation spiritual healer. What would you like to share with us about these deep familial roots in the field?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. There's a long history there, definitely on both sides of my family. One side being spiritual advisors and healers, and the other side being druidic practitioners, which, for those that are not familiar with that term, it's a practice of working with the elements of the universe and the earth itself. Herbs, gemstones, seasons, turnings of the year, things like that. And, you know, I wish I had known personally more of my ancestors. I didn't really get to meet too many of them along the way, but, you know, you would think with that kind of heritage, I would have just had a wealth of resources from my own family. But, even though my gifts were not suppressed during my time growing up, I also didn't have somebody proactively teaching me from the family. So I still needed to go out and do my own work and my own research and my own find my own teachers, so to say, along the way, my own mentors and guides along the way. And I think the difference for me coming from that long heritage is that there's so much diversity. I think almost every religion is covered in that family history. And I think it allowed an openness to accept my gifts. And they came at a very early age. You know, for some people, they don't always come at an early age. But I would say for most people who are so-called born into them, as I was, I started having premonitions as early as the age of 3 that I can remember. You know, they're just kind of a part of life. And for me, starting to learn things and develop and grow things was specifically because I needed to find out why I was able to see things or do things that other people couldn't do and, you know, how to use that.
When you say premonitions, could you explain a little bit about, can you share some of those experiences? I know going back to 3 years old, it might be a little bit tough, but.
Well, I can think of things, for example, I grew up in Southern California and just outside of the LA area in a little suburb called Manhattan Beach. And I remember having this dream one night. I was probably around 7, 8, maybe 9 years old at that time. And I had a dream that my parents were suddenly going to have to go do something this one night. And right down to the time on the clock, and I saw this explosion happen. And I told my parents about it the next day, and they're like, well, that's crazy. We have nothing planned tonight. You know, nothing's going to happen. We're not going to be anywhere. And by the time, you know, before their workday ended, they had plans. They were going out of the house. And sure enough, I noticed an explosion right at the exact same time I had seen it in my dream. And we turned on the news, as we did in my dream, and sure enough, the refinery over in Torrance, which wasn't very far from us, had blown up, or they had a fire that was over there. They had an explosion. And that was just one sample of it. Going in more recent times, I kind of live in deja vu these days. I oftentimes will have visions and then they'll manifest or they'll come to pass anywhere from 2 months to 6 months, maybe as long as 9 months. And that's a very interesting thing because I will see it in a vision and then I'll think to myself, well, I don't know why on earth I would ever be doing that or why I would be at that place or talking to these people about these things. And then sure enough, you know, 3 or 4 months later, there I am doing that very exact thing. And it kind of triggers in the middle of it going, oh, wow, I've done this, been here, done that already.
Who are some of your other teachers that you look to? You say you look to them with gratitude for the time, experiences, wisdom, and willingness to share that they support you with.
It's very interesting that you ask that, Meredith, because, you know, a lot of people, they automatically go to whoever has a big name, who has a well-established program out there. And for me, it was definitely more of that spiritual path of finding the so-called hidden teachers who, most of them, like myself, were multi-generation in their knowledge, and they weren't looking for any big program. And at the time I was studying, we didn't have all these internet options and people with these hat programs, and you know, that really wasn't out there too much there. So these people came into my life and they really took me under their wing, and they said, I don't know what it is about you, but there's something really special. And I know I'm supposed to help you. And they were oftentimes people who rarely ever took a student in. You know, they rarely did teaching, or their teachings were a very small group. And so I was extremely grateful to find the teachers that I found, because they were tucked away. And it is that example of, when you're ready, the teacher will show up. And matter of fact, with one of my teachers, she had been offering to teach me and trying to get me to work with her for probably about a year. It was about a year before we really could coordinate in and where it just felt right, so to say, for me to do that work. And again, it was such a gift because I felt like I was getting all these hidden pieces of information that weren't out there in the book. You know, I had a certain amount of book learning and things like that. Shakti Gawain was one of my key people. Stephen Halpern was another key person for me to observe and learn from his work in music. Paul Byrol was another person who's a master herbalist, master astrologer. I couldn't even tell you how many books out there, probably 40 or 50 at this time, but of different things he's published, and so I did past life regression with him, herbalism with him, astrology with him. Gary Altobello, one of those little hidden gems that I found that taught me a lot of mysteries to the universe, a lot of working of calling on the different names of God and connecting with God. He taught me some of the Hebrew aspects and the Jewish aspects that go with metaphysics, so more the Kabbalah system, I guess you would say. And I'm trying to think of one of my other teachers. She's deceased now. Her name is Jackie, and I'm drawing a blank on her last name. But she passed away many years ago. And she was a third, fourth generation in her family for working with things. And she was a great just all-around teacher for connecting elements and planets and days and all kinds of things in there.
It's wonderful when the teacher does arise kind of organically in response to your need, rather than, I don't know, some of these prepackaged courses or the people that put themselves out there to be teachers just hit me a little bit wrong, whereas there are some wonderful, wonderful people that have taught me in their life that don't claim to be teachers.
Yes, exactly. And I think that actually coordinates with a lot of, if we want to say, older cultures and Indian traditions or Eastern traditions. You find actually a lot more of that. The teacher isn't walking around going, hey, I'm the guru, and hey, you got to listen to me, and these sorts of things. They're simply there, and the paths simply cross. It's not this commercial side. And most of the people I studied with, like I said, they could care less whether they have students or not. You know, there was a certain amount that they enjoyed having it, but they took so few on, and to me that was very specialized, because I knew they were extending themselves in a way that they rarely did. And I think that some of the greatest teachers out there, you'll never know their name. You'll never see them on the internet.
How is being a Druidic practitioner help you in honoring and appreciating the harmony of all things?
I missed the first part of that, girl.
I'm sorry. How does being a Druidic practitioner help you in honoring and appreciating the harmony of all things?
You know, I'm really glad you asked that, because a lot of my work focuses around seasons and cycles. A lot of the events I do are focused around the time of year that it's that we're in. And for me, when we flow with the seasons, when we understand the influences that we're working with, and the Druidic practitioner looks at those cycles, they will look at, you know, what season are we in? What turning of the year are we in? What sign are we in? How does that relate to the elements? How does that coordinate? And when we understand the different elements, and we understand the different turnings of the year, and we understand the different components that we're dealing with, we know how to balance that. We know how to work with it. A lot of people, for example, get afraid of maybe Mercury retrograde, or we've had this whole series of Pluto-Uranus squares going on for the last few years, and people are like, oh, it's all doom and gloom. And it's like, no, you just have to learn how to work with it. And I think that's a big key with that practice, is that it is about harmonizing. It is about synchronizing with the different times of the year. It is about honoring the seasons that are upon us, instead of sitting around going, oh my gosh, it's so hot right now, or it's so humid, and this is miserable. Like, think about all the blessings you can do, even though it's warm, that you can't do at other times of year, and embrace that. You know, when it's summertime, put those shorts on and get out there. You know, go hang out at the beach, go be outside, because you're not going to necessarily do that at winter. when it's wintertime, get away, enjoy the snow, you know, enjoy the coolness. And if you're not a cold person, you know, be inside with a warm fireplace while you enjoy it, whatever it is for you. But that definitely creates a harmony that, for me, can both synchronize things to happen in a very beautiful way. And it can also, it puts us in the flow. So instead of hitting so much resistance in our life, it creates a flow in our life. And, you know, I'm bringing out some work right now to the public that's related to coding. And coding is kind of another form of this, working with people's personal codes for understanding. And what that does is just like working with the seasons and the turnings of the year, it puts us in a flow. And when we're in flow, things can greatly accelerate for us. We stop hitting a lot of the resistances and the blocks and the frustrations along the way. And we open ourselves up to receive amazing gifts from the universe. But we have to be willing to let go of some of the judgments, and we have to be willing to say, okay, I'm not going to get frustrated by my time out, you know, wherever I am and landing for a while. I'm going to take a look and see what I can do with that and open some new doors. And oftentimes when I do that, instead of getting upset over something, just flow with it and see what I can do with it, then these beautiful doors do open. All of a sudden I realize what a gift I've been handed.
Yeah. I discovered that over the last couple of years, as Burl's mother, who had earlier rejected me and walked away, came to our home for in-home hospice. And for 2 years I was caregiver, and once I was really willing to flow with it and see what I had to learn from it and see how the ways she needed and wanted to be loved were different from the ways in which I ordinarily gave love, it helped me to grow and to flow with it more. So I can see that. But how do you use coding to help people gain greater insight into their energy flows?
You know, I love this work that I'm rolling out right now, because there really isn't anything that we can't delve into with coding. You know, we can find things that are related to people's health. We can find the days of the week that are best for them. I can look at people's ability to work for a company, job positions that work for them. This can really help people even find out things like, what type of work would be good for them, what type of positions would be good for them, what are their natural spiritual gifts, what planets are they aligned to. And I work with primarily their name, their legal name, whatever that is. If they were born with a different name, I take a look at that and take that into consideration. But I work with their full legal name. And I blend the intuitive with the practical in that work. I do take a little bit of look at their birth date. It doesn't weigh really heavy for me, but I look at different things from Nordic energy patterns with that. I can look at how people are connected. Matter of fact, I've been working with a friend and helping him find a romantic partner, a lifetime partner in his life, and he's found somebody who is completely coded to him and has a beautiful energy flow, and he's very excited and very happy with this. So it can really help us identify, is somebody a soulmate? And what happens with coding too, I've worked with, for example, musicians and helping them get the correct song titles and CD titles and things like that. It really helps people, again, get into that flow, and it pulls the resistance out. So it brings us into that connected divine energy, even if we have challenges within our own personal coding. If we're completely coded, for example, to somebody like my friend with a relationship, we can have a couple of different layers of that. So, for example, if we're very favorably and completely coded to somebody, it's like bringing twin flame energy into our life. Everything can be really beautiful. If we're really coded to somebody but it's not favorable for us, it creates conflicts and things like that. It's almost like a fatal attraction. You know, it's like that addiction that we can't resist, whether that is food or people or whatever it is. And we'll keep trying. That's where we'll tend to put ourselves into abusive situations. Now, we can have different also layers of coding that may be financially beneficial. So if somebody, like people in the music industry or whatever business industry, coaches, whoever it is, putting out book titles, you want that title that's going to be profitable for you as well as shed a favorable light for you. Matter of fact, I was just working with an author last weekend with a book title for his up-and-coming book. And so these things can all make a difference of how well that business does for those people. Likewise, though, sometimes we want to do something and we're not concerned about the financial piece for whatever reason. It's just something we want to enjoy. So there's a layer of coding for that. And sometimes, for example, we want to go to a job or we're favorably connected with somebody, but we're not necessarily coded to them, then what can happen with that is it creates more of a friendship, or you don't have a hard time walking away from that situation. So, for example, somebody who wants just a part-time job or a job to last them for a few months, then I would want to find something that would be favorably coded to them, but not, you know, a favorable connection, but not necessarily fully coded, so that they could easily walk away.
How do you discover or how do you uncover the coding?
Well, it's kind of interesting. Part of it is just in looking at the name, and this work, actually, I will reference Sherita Starr in some of this work because she was kind of a, I would say, trigger for me in what I'm doing. Her work's a little bit different, but it's a bit of a trigger because she works with blends of numerology and astrology and names, and within the names can find phrases or different things like that. And so Sherita Starr was really a trigger for me with this. But I actually pull on the different runic symbolisms that are aligned with names. I do pull on numerology related to the name, but I use a Chaldean numerology, which is a very old form of numerology. It's not the standard one out there. And then I look at different ways. I look at different patterns. I don't stick to just a straight 1-9 system. I use a 1-52 system. And it just kind of shows up for me. Things will pop out. I mean, I literally have recently gotten right down to knowing the date, the birth date of who my twin flame will be. And it's just unfolding all the time. So I kind of gaze into the name in a way. Different things will pop out at me. I also am running... The codes are like a vibrational energy, so it tells me what energy something runs on. And then that can tell me how I need to adjust it. So I'll look at it. Let's say somebody, I recently decoded Jesus, the name Jesus. And Jesus' energy is rebel. It's a rebel, revolutionary energy. It wasn't this peaceful, calm energy that a lot of people like to associate with Jesus, for example. And Jesus was that. He created revolution. He created this uprising, you know, in his time. But if somebody had that energy, then I would be looking at, okay, what energy vibration patterns are then going to balance that? What energy vibrations are going to, you know, help somebody move more into a thing? It also helps us know our lessons. Like, I have some very challenging things. I also have revolutionary energy in my name. I also have energy that does not allow for speculation, which means even if I had a solid 40-hour-a-week job paying X amount of dollars per month, I would not be able to rely on that money coming in, say, 3 months down the line. I have to operate 100% in the present with what I have in the moment, nothing more, nothing less, because of the way my energy works. So it really helps us understand how it works. I actually worked on some cold cases for a while earlier this year, and it's very interesting looking at people's names. It will actually tell me, you know, different things that are prone to happen to them, whether they're susceptible to accidents, whether they are prone to be the follower, or whether they're going to be the fall person in a crowd, or whether they're going to be very well protected by people higher up. These are all things I can take a look at, and it's very interesting, very fascinating. And so it was very fun to work on those cases on one hand, very intense on one hand, but very fun in another hand, because it, you know, they would give me a name, and I could uncover details about what happened in the case that weren't printed anywhere.
Yeah.
So I'm finding it's like a 99% accuracy rate, maybe, in there. But it does blow me intuitive with some of the practical techniques of numerology or things.
Backing up to where you were talking about the name Jesus, just a wonderful synchronicity. Somebody else was recently pointing out to me the relationship between the name Jesus and the French je suis, I am, and that mm-hmm. Jesus brought the I am energy into humanity instead of having it be just a god up there that was unapproachable or, you know, whatever.
Yes, and then bringing that in for him by, for example, using that, like myself, that I am happens to be a vibrational energy. In numerology, it relates to a six, at least in the, you know, in the Chaldean system, at least it relates to a six. And with Jesus' energy, what that did was that brought in assistance from above and greater divine assistance for him. That's also a favorable vibration for me to work with, and that is one of the things that I'm decoding right now is decoding, for example, the names of God and different names of God. Because when we pray, if we're going to go into these different spaces and we're going to call upon that God, goddess energy, that force, there's so many different names, and if we're calling on it in a name that is conflicted to us energy-wise, we're going to create a lot of trials and tribulations for ourselves. If we're using a version of calling on that name that is coded for us and favorable for us, then it's like having prayers answered all the time. So it is interesting. Yeah.
When Burl first discovered, as a small child, the woman that he came into his life and filled it with love, he would come and sit on top of his birdcage. anyway, he didn't have a name for it, and over time came to find her name was Sophia.
Well,
is Sophia a name that is energetically in tune with Virgo?
You know, and that's something I would have to take a deeper look at in some ways, because again, I would be looking at the full name in that, and I think that there is some of it that is in there, and I would have to just simply run that, and I would be happy to do that, you know, off the air probably, but. You know, Sophia has a beautiful energy in, you know, just on its own. And that's some of the differences, too, because what's very wonderful with this is it takes the right or wrong out of things. It's not that something's right or wrong. Like, you could have two people with really wonderful energy, and yet when you put them together, they might not work together. And vice versa. And I am working with angelic names and things like that, too. Now, Sophia is definitely an energy vibration, for example, that is not necessarily money-based, but is very good for learning and education. And, you know, that energy pattern that Sophia carries is very good for wisdom seeking, and Sophia's energy, one of the key things is to really teach us about observation and the benefits of observation, and through that observation helps us find our successes, especially if we've had strife or trials or challenges earlier in life. She enlightens what those experiences are about. So, yeah, she's kind of wonderful to have for a connection and a teacher and a vibrational energy to work with. You know, again, I would have to run Burl's whole name to see what the connection would be there.
Well, it's interesting as we're bringing this up, and I'll make it briefly because I don't want it to be about me. But the name Sophia, the lady that came into my dreams and also my visions as an adult really had no name, and it was my task, not my task, but I wound up giving her the name Sophia because I wanted to make amends with Christianity, which I still haven't done, by the way, but she brought Christianity into a whole new point. And when I say Christianity, I'm talking about more mainstream than I am anything else. But it's interesting that since we brought this up, the first time I ever heard the name of Isis, which in the Egyptian would have been Offset, and in the Roman form it was Isis, I literally exploded in energy. And, you know, I see Sophia as one with Isis ultimately. So it's, you know, this conversation is really fascinating to me in terms of, you know, the names. And
yes, it is. And, you know, here again, this is where some of the aspects that something may not be specifically coded to you, mm-hmm. but could still have a favorable influence. So you're very comfortable with it. And we draw to, you know, different energies or aspects of God throughout our life, through what we're going through, to work through different things that we've lived through, maybe in a past life or lessons that we're learning in this life. So sometimes we're drawing in those different energies and having a connection with them specifically because of that. I know that mine have shifted along the way. Some have stayed similar, some have shifted along the way. And the names that I've used, Isis is one, Tara is one, certainly I've worked with Kuan Yin, Freya, a variety of different energy patterns there. And it's quite fascinating because those who know me know that my name, what it is now, is not what I was born under, and I did not change it because of marriage, and I was not involved in this work at the time I changed my name, so I didn't realize everything when I changed it completely. But prior to changing my name, my birth name, I had absolutely no angels coded to me. When I went back and I started looking at all the angels, and I actually found that I had at least 23 angels coded to my current name. And so I changed it without even knowing that, as well as having several archangels coded into my name. And it was after I changed my name that I really opened up to doing angelic work. So it's kind of interesting to see how we naturally shift when we do get those name changes. And as a matter of fact, I've got a show coming up in about a week and a half on the 24th on Activating Compassion Radio, which is my show. And I'm going to be talking about name changes and how our energy shifts. And what's really cool with this is, like, for people, for example, who were adopted or who are a little bit older and they don't have their birth records, those sorts of things, because we can still understand their energy and we can still understand what is there for them by this method. And it takes the right wrong. If you understand these are my challenges, then you understand you need to approach life differently. You know, you can't go out and take some of the risks sometimes that, like, I couldn't go out and take some of the risks that some of the other people make. Not that I couldn't physically do it, but if I do it, it creates an unfavorable result for me. So I just have to approach things from a different angle. It doesn't mean that I won't get to the same place. It just means I have to approach it differently. So, you know, it's kind of like if somebody lives in the Southwest, they're going to get to California probably in a different way than somebody who lives in the Northwest. They're going to go different directions to get into California. So it's that same type of thing. It doesn't mean that one's right or wrong. It just means that they're going to take a different road there.
You call yourself an integrated development specialist. Are there other life-enhancing modalities that you've integrated into your practice?
You know, definitely. And I actually integrate, I would say, over 50 different field practices, belief systems, cultures. My work, again, blends the intuitive with the practical. It blends the Eastern and Western philosophies. And so when I work with somebody, say, in a coaching-type capacity or I'm doing workshops or events, I blend in all of these different modalities. I do a lot of work with signs and symbolism, and that being the universal language. And things will come up, and it just naturally brings in these different pieces. For me, it's not all about just one modality. While I'm doing a lot of focusing on the coding, even the coding work has a lot of different pieces that come together because, for example, it could show our past lives, but then we want to take a look at that and go, okay, well, if I had a past life in Indonesia someplace, you know, let me delve more into that culture and that practices and those beliefs and what does that mean, and, you know, what are their names for calling on spirit or divine or God. It really opens some doors. So having that whole background from astrology and numerology and working with crystals and gemstones, a lot of times when I'm working with people, I'll go through and we'll work with the Akashic records, we'll do some energy cleansing, we'll work with the chakras, we'll blend in these different pieces that are there to help them maximize their life, help them you know, get that synchronicity going, get that flow going. You know, I work with restructuring the DNA systems and grid patterns, and so it just depends on what's happening for somebody as to integrating that. And I do have some session work that I do that's even more of a reading style, because some people, they just want more of that than they want coaching. And I've created a reading that works with gemstones and crystals and symbols that incorporates all of the elements. So that's it's not just the standard type of intuitive reading. It actually draws on, for example, somebody's soul self. That's ones that I do in person and live in person when I'm on the road. And so their soul self is actually communicating with their conscious human self, if you want to say that. And I'm just the interpreter in that process.
Jesse, how have you found that compassion is central to helping people gain greater understanding of themselves and how they interact in the world?
And compassion is really amazing, because when we go onto the path of compassion, we're really activating and enhancing our level of consciousness and awareness and understanding. And it brings in this aspect of looking at things from a different aspect. For me, I came into this message because I really didn't know what my message should be in the world, in a sense, or what I was resonating to. So I approached it from what most irritated me, and that was judgment. So when we look at compassion, it helps us to take time for ourselves, because we need to have compassion with ourselves, be a little more forgiving with ourselves. When we look at other people, instead of just jumping out there and going, oh my gosh, that person's 300 pounds. What are they doing eating a pizza? They shouldn't be eating that. You know, we don't know. Maybe they just lost 200 or 300 pounds. We tend to react. Our human self, our ego self, lower ego self wants to react a lot of times, and we automatically make these judgments. But as we start to walk the path of compassion, as I've talked about in my book, we automatically create a peace, a joy, a happiness in our life. And it comes from releasing the judgment. It comes from saying, you know what, I can give somebody a smile. I can take 10 seconds and hold the door open for somebody and be okay with knowing that that's going to change a life. You know, we can change a life from the smallest of things that don't take hardly any time in our day. And it's about realizing that when I work with compassion a lot of times with people, it's helping people see that what our eyes see is just such a small, small piece. I see, for example, so many photographs and even video clips that go around the internet. And, you know, we're making all kinds of assumptions about what was right or wrong in those photos and who did what, and we weren't there. And, you know, it's ironic how many people just jump into this reaction space and they want to start accusing people and be angry with people and all these things. But if we look at it, for example, the paparazzi and some of these other groups have been photographing celebrities in compromising ways that had nothing to do with what was actually happening. And so by bringing in that understanding and realizing that there's always going to be more to the picture than what we're seeing. When we're seeing that person tailgate us or speed down the road, you know, we don't know whether they're doing it just because they're out of control with whatever's happening in their life and they've got whatever emotions and whatever reactionary response is going on, or whether they're actually maybe trying to get to a hospital because something's happened and somebody they love has been hauled into the hospital. We don't know these things just from that action. And this is where we start to break down some of the programming. and things, because we're programmed to react. We're programmed to get angry. We're programmed for these lower vibrations. And through compassion, what it does is help us let go of that and say, you know what? I might not have liked what this person did, but I can still love that person anyway. Because we realize that they're maybe experiencing a much deeper pain inside of them. And it doesn't mean that we can necessarily always fix it or correct it. We certainly can't change for them. We certainly don't have to always live under their influence or anything like that. But it is about understanding that they are in pain, and it's not the person that we don't like. It's the action that we don't like. And I think that's probably one of the most challenging things. I've heard frequently when people read my books on compassion, because I've got the two books on compassion and then two books on relationship. And even the relationship book brings in learning how to be compassionate with your partner and finding love and things like that. But I hear on my compassion books, activating compassion books, two things from people. They read them and they go, I found out I was a lot more compassionate than I thought I was. And I also found out that I was a lot less compassionate than I thought I was.
I know exactly what you mean. What's the title of your book on compassion?
It's called Activating Compassion. And then there's also a companion workbook called Activating Compassion, the workbook. So real simple. I broke them into two books so that, one, I could keep the price a little more affordable. And those the people that wanted to just grab the concepts could do that with the main book, Activating Compassion. And then those that wanted to take it further and get some exercises and some meditations and some additional practical things to do, then they can also delve into the workbook. So,
What led you to turn to writing as well as your, healing practice?
Well, that's kind of funny. The healing has always been with me. That is something, I've been working with people in a spiritual advisor healing capacity for, it's been about 35 years now, so it's quite a while. Granted, I've had the gifts all my life, but that's how long I've been actually working with people. And, so that's been there. And that was just natural. I got into that because I had to understand myself. Mm-hmm. Why I had these abilities. Why could I put my hands over something and it got better? it changed. And I realized enough to know that I needed to be able to work with that energy responsibly. As far as writing goes, I'll tell you in all honesty, it was the last thing I ever thought I would be doing would be writing books. And I know that I have more that will come out. And I say that because I was never a person to sit down and read. I was a very, very slow reader growing up, and I have to picture everything when I read. And so when the universe came to me and it gave me this message, and it said, here's your message, and now you're going to write books. And I kind of laughed, and I said, you got to be out of your mind. I don't write. I love to write, but, I don't write books. And it says, well, you're going to write books now. And so I did. I started putting it down, and that's where I really focused in. And I said, well, what do I want to do? And it's just one of those kind of books that are really simple to get through. They're not very big. They're not very long. The chapters are really short. In them, so they're very, you should sit down and read a chapter in 10 or 15 minutes and grab the concept of it. But it's kind of just a great guide. I have a lot of people that when they read the books, they go, I never thought about things that way. So So it really is not about so much here's how you have to live your life, but here's some thoughts and some suggestions, and it's about opening people to expand their perception and their way of looking at things.
So it's more.
It does it in a way of putting it into real life, so they can actually grab the concepts and put it in. And I have people of all different walks of life, educational levels, backgrounds that read it, from religious backgrounds to very spiritual backgrounds to business people to people who have never been to college to people who have doctorate degrees, you name it.
So if I'm hearing you right, you take the role more of a counselor in terms of helping the person flesh out what's within him or her, more so than you're saying, well, you're saying this, this, and this, and this is what you need to do. Am I hearing that right?
Yes, and I would say, girl, a lot of my work is focused really on helping people help themselves. It's not about them following some specific path format, but it's helping them to open up to understand themselves. And to me, if we understand ourselves and we understand our path, our working, and we're willing to open up our perspective on things, the world is ours. We could do anything. And it's really about providing hope and encouragement and reminding people that you can go out and do what you want in life. You can make a difference, and it doesn't matter where you're coming from or where your starting point is. You can bring a message into the world, or you can just simply live a life that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And you still got to take hold and do the work. I can't do it for you. I can give you the ideas. I can help you understand how to open your mind up. It's about helping people to take hold on their own.
Yeah, well, that's a beautiful statement, because that's one thing that I keep hemming in and speaking to in my writings, is that we need not a top-down educational sense, but education in terms of bringing forth potential. In other words, you're fostering the evolution of a human being. That sounds exactly where you're at.
Yes, I'm kind of like the person who's going to teach you how to fish instead of just giving you food.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm that person that's going to teach you how to help yourself. Mm-hmm. And to me, this is the empowerment. This is where the freedom is. This is where we make the big connections in life. And for me, there isn't one format. Everybody's different, and I work with people wherever they're at in that moment. Matter of fact, most of my events and workshops, even if they have a topic to them, are very open. It's about people walking in with whatever is happening in their life, and that's what we look at. And then we also look at how that fits into whatever we're there to explore. But it's very open-ended. It's not like you're going to do this for the first hour and that for the next hour and so on. It's very open-ended, and we deal with wherever people are at when they show up.
Is this the same impetus that led you to become a radio host?
I started off thinking that was going to be a way to get my work out there a little bit and to share some of my concepts. And I do that some of the times, but I've certainly expanded because I love sharing how other people's work ties in with compassion and giving people, yes, the opportunity to learn a lot of different perspectives so that they can start to learn about what resonates for them. Because what I choose for myself may not resonate with somebody else and vice versa, and that's okay. We all need to explore and find the things that are going to click for us. And that's where we talked about the coding earlier. It helps us figure out what those things are we're most likely to click to.
As we wind down the hour, what's in your heart right now, Jesse Ann, that you would like to leave with our listeners?
You know, if people go over to my website, JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com, so JessieAnnNicholsGeorge1.com, and I've got all kinds of things over there. I've got freebie stuff for people, monthly videos that I put out. I've got monthly specials that I do, all kinds of things that they can take advantage of. But the thing for me is really let go of worrying about what everybody else is doing and what their perceptions are that you should be doing, and start living for yourself. Be compassionate with yourself. Be compassionate with other people. Because as we do this, we just create the most amazing life and the most amazing connections in life. And believe in yourself, because you can do it. Whatever your dream is, whatever your vision is, you've got the power in you to bring it out. And just love. Just love. It's that simple. It's, we make it difficult, but it's really that simple.
Yeah.
That is a great message to leave folks with.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Do you prefer being called Jessie or Jessie Ann? That's a little late for me to be asking you that, isn't it?
Well, most people call me Jessie, which is great. Mm-hmm. So that's fine, but I go by whatever. I see my name come up all different kinds of ways, places, so it's okay, whatever's comfortable with for somebody.
Okay, well, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Very, very insightful. Thank you.
It's been an absolute pleasure to be here and to be on your show and to share with your listeners what I'm doing. And also the other books on relationships, for those that are interested, it's called You, Me, Life Dreams, and there's a companion workbook, and it's Activating Your Perfect Relationship. So whether you're already in one or whether you're searching for one, it's a great handbook to understand our masculine, feminine energy in this world.
And understand how we each within a relationship have to activate both. We both each have to be the feminine receiver and the masculine lover drive, whatever.
Yes, it's definitely a balance of that energy and understanding which we're in and which our partner is in and what we need. Really makes a big difference. And it gets into really helping people understand how each energy communicates and works and functions and thinks. So it's a real fun book to delve into.
Mm. Well, great. Well, thank you. And
this interview was great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
Let's see. I'm looking for our outro music. There we go. Bye, everybody. Have a wonderful week.